I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I'm going to preach from right here. Okay? That's just what we're doing for a couple of reasons. But one, because the lessons tonight, this whole semester, can you tell I used to be a teacher? Really the school setting. But this entire semester since the fall, early fall, we at the Healing Service have gone through a couple of themes. We talked about healing in the Old Testament. We've talked about friend of sinners. And it all kind of comes to a perfect head in these lessons tonight. Now, this wasn't advertised. You may not know this, but these scriptures were specifically chosen because the part you do know is we're days away from Christmas. But what happens when Christmas doesn't look like you wished it did? What happens when life and family and people get in the way? When you know that you are looking forward to some level of it, because as we sit here, you go, you know, Jesus, I'm really thankful you were born, but none of what's about to happen, that's not how it's supposed to be. And you're stuck with this overwhelming sense that while it's exciting, maybe secretly, maybe not so secretly, you're like, I'm really just ready to see December 28th. That's true for a lot of folks, for a lot of us. And I think in life, seasons go up and down. And maybe it's one of those seasons where you're like, God, this isn't how it's supposed to look. It's not. I'm a lot of those things that got read tonight. And not the positive one always. Maybe it is a feeling of mourning. It's not with the people you thought it would be with. Our friends and loved ones who are supposed to be here. Maybe it's just the family dynamic. And maybe it's just not as fun as you'd hoped. And you know now, after enough years, that it's just not gonna look the way we really want it to. These scriptures were written for us tonight, especially those of us who have had a year, or maybe a few years, where we know this is good news. The birth of Christ is good news, but maybe it's more of a head knowledge than it is something we're feeling in our hearts right now. And so our first lesson, a throwback to earlier in the fall when we talked about healing in the Old Testament, Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah, which is maybe spicy content because Isaiah spends the first many, many, many chapters going over how it's not going well. He's talking about exile of the people. He's talking about, hey folks, you're doing a horrible job. Just the encouragement you want on a Tuesday night. And then this flip happens. He starts it in chapter 40, and by the time we're in chapter 60, he's really in it because he starts these prophecies of what's to come. And that's where we pick up tonight. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. After all this reminder of the 8 million, it seems, ways that it's not going well, the word of the Lord for us is comfort. Because that's the nature of God. He's like, yeah, but I love you. And I want to hand you comfort. Even when it's not going well. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. And then he does this beautiful thing where he starts to point out all the things as reminders of what God has already done. I read a book once that talked about this, and she talked about in her own personal life going in and keeping a record in her heart. So whatever that looks like for you, I'm very visual. If I don't write it down, I will look you in your eye and I will mean it with my whole soul. Yes, we're going to get that on the calendar. If I don't put it on paper, it's not happening. And it's not because I don't love you. It's because really that's just who I am. And this author talked about in her own prayer life, going in and having, you could compare it to a lot of things, but like a garden or an art gallery, but this place she could go in her prayer life and she'd go, God, this circumstance you have me in right now, it's not good news. I'm actually convinced I'm not ever getting out of it. But here's what you have done. And she would go back through these moments, these pivotal things in her own life and go, but you brought me out of this and you brought me out of that one too. And you did this and you did this. And she'd go around and she's by the end, I wasn't convinced I wasn't going to die, but I was convinced that God is who he said he was. And that's what we're seeing in Isaiah right now, because he starts with these words of comfort. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. And then he jumps in and says, lift up your eyes high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Friends, your existence isn't an accident. Your presence here tonight, it's not an accident. None of it's an accident. God is intentional. And even in the midst of our lives feeling like chaos, God is who he says he is. We see it in the psalm. My point being, every bit of this scripture is intentional, just like every action of God is. I love reading from the Psalms, especially when I feel like maybe my words are too much for God. Maybe my prayers, it's not pretty. It's a lot of maybe groaning, maybe crying out to God. And then we read a psalm like this. This is, again, one of a favorite. But it's not beautiful. It's not eloquent in the way we expect our psalms to be. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And we read it just like that. Like it's a pleasant thing. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? That's how we read it. That's how I just read it to you right now. But have you been in that moment in your life? I have, where I've laid on the floor and cried out to God, and it's never that pleasant. It's usually a little bit more yelly. How long, O Lord, how long will you forget me? What an accusation. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? Then the psalmist takes a different turn. And instead of questions, I can only imagine this was shouted in the depths of it. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Answer me. Give me something. Give me something. This next part of the verse is, it's probably one I feel the most. And I'm going to tie it all together, I promise. I'm not going to stand here forever. That's my promise to you. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep the sleep of death. I want you to really think about where he was when he wrote this. Absolute despair. I mean, truly, give light to my eyes or I will sleep the sleep of death. God, I've got nothing else. You've got to do something or else I can't do it. And here's what's jarring. There's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses in this psalm. That's verse 3. By verse 5, here's what we read. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Friends, it's not a to-do list. It wasn't just, well, by verse 5, the psalmist just pulled himself up by his bootstraps and he thought, we're going to do it. I'm just going to stop being in the thick of despair. That's not what happened. God intervenes in our lives because he's not ever, ever leaving us alone. He's not forsaking us. Even when we are in the place where we are on the ground in despair saying, Lord, I'm out. Thank you. It's been a good run, but I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm about to be done with you and this and all of it. I am done. When that is the place we are, that is the prayer like the psalmist we should be praying. Because it's honest. God shows up in our darkest of moments. He's not ever leaving our side. And this is the example that we have to follow. Not to be perfect, not to never ever hit a place of despair, but to remember that God pulls us out of those depths. And this is where we're going to end tonight with me. We're going to continue the service, but this is where we're going to end. We read in the gospel the Beatitudes. We've heard them before. We know them. But I want to highlight them in particular because of what I started with. Christmas is a joyful season and also a really, really hard one. And there are so, so many folks who at the end of a year, you're like, God, you didn't answer my prayer the way I thought you would. I'm still waiting. I'm still confused. This family dynamic doesn't feel like I thought it should. Whatever the case may be, that's true for each of us. There's something, a reason that we're here tonight. And I want to leave you with these words from Jesus. This gospel was picked tonight because he's highlighting the state of the human condition. And he reminds us that through it all, he's with us and we are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Just like the psalmist, he ends with this. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. After he just listed a slew of human conditions, none of which are fun, none of which are enjoyable, none of which are favorable, none of which you think, gee, that sounds like a good time. None of them. And at the end, he says, rejoice and be glad. And it's not a false hope. It's not this, well, be happy anyway. Could be worse. It's none of that. It's a deep rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. It's the start of our understanding that God is never ever leaving us, even in the pit of despair. And so in just a few minutes, we do have communion tonight. And we don't have a musician. I did say at the start of the service, I would talk about how that ties in. So forgive me, this is actually what I'll end with. But what an example of our expectation and how we think it should be something. I love when this service has music. It's great. And y'all do not want to hear me sing the whole thing, so I love it. It really works out for me. But here's the thing. Truly, are we coming for the music? Or are we coming to encounter Christ? We can encounter Christ through music. But I was struck as I came over here, and Father Stu, our way in passing, he handed me, he's like, hey, I know it's a said service tonight, but do you want the Bluetooth speaker? It's in my office. Do you want it? And I was like, actually, I do. Because I do think, and we chatted before the service, I do think there's something beautiful about music, especially in a time of prayer. Because what if you are, I've been there, the pit of despair, where I don't have words. But the Holy Spirit can still do a thing. But I giggled to myself as I came over because I thought, well, I'm going to have to explain to everyone why I have this Bluetooth speaker, and you hear my little Bluetooth sound connecting because I will be connecting my phone. That's what we're doing. And I thought, but how perfect is that as we walk into the week of Christmas? Because I don't know about you, but in my family, I'm definitely one who has her vision of how it should go. And how often does it fall short? Because I've made up in my mind what I think it should look like. Now here's the hard part. Sometimes that's over silly things, like gifts or burning a casserole or something. We've all been there. We know these stories, right? But sometimes it's a little bit deeper. My family doesn't look the way it should. The people who I think should be here aren't here. The understanding of what Christmas is as we all gather together maybe is different. When I was in seminary, I spent a Christmas by myself up there. I wasn't able to come home. And so I feel this on a very different level because I sat there illegally with friends. I was in Canada. It was the pandemic. We were legally not allowed to gather. And I sat there, and now I look back and I think, praise God for my friends. But I'll tell you the truth. I sat there on that Christmas day, and I wept. Because I thought, this isn't how it's supposed to look. There are a million examples of that in our own lives. Be it different family, different traditions. And here's the encouragement. Even when it doesn't look like it's supposed to, like we think it should, God is who He says He is. He sees it. He knows. It's okay. If you're like, well, I'm admittedly not the most excited about how this looks, it's okay. You're not alone. And Jesus loves you and is remaining with us always.